Hey, hey, happy Whoa, That's Good Wednesday. Hope y'all are having a great week. If you've been listening to the recent podcast, we actually had Bindi Irwin on a few weeks ago because she was on my Facebook audio room. Now we have another Facebook audio room with an amazing couple that I get to share with you on this podcast platform. It's Cole and Savannah LeBrant. I'm sure you know about them, but if you don't, they're just a beautiful couple who loves the Lord, loves each other, loves to dance, and I was so excited to get to have a conversation. Christian actually joined me in this, so it's just fun to get to know another Christian couple who's fun and loves their kids and loves the Lord. So I can't wait for y'all to listen to this conversation. Also, since we had this conversation, they had a major life update, and so we didn't even talk about their pregnancy, but hopefully we'll have them back on and we can talk a little bit about that. Hope you enjoyed this conversation with Christian and I and the LeBrant family. Excited for another chat on Behind the Screens. This is going to be so much fun. Today, I don't know if you already saw on my Instagram or maybe you saw it promoted on Facebook, but we are getting to talk to two incredible people, Cole and Savannah. But before we welcome them on the show, I actually have another guest joining me, my husband, Christian Huff.
Bum, 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 bum.
What was that?
That was like the most epic drum roll you could have gotten.
It almost was. It actually was. Okay, so Christian's joining us, and I just saw that the LeBrant family has now joined us. Welcome, guys. I'm so excited to talk.
Woo!
Hello.
This is Cole. I'm with my wife, Savannah.
I'm Savannah.
I'm Cole.
Y'all are awesome, and I'm so stoked to talk to y'all. So we've actually met, but we met like kind of randomly, like outside of church one day. I remember.
Yep.
And we've kind of like chatted throughout the years of seeing y'all at Passion, but we've never really had to like have, we've never gotten to have like a full on conversation. So I'm stoked.
I know. We're excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Likewise. I know. I've been, we just talked like off screen, and Christian and I have become like DM buddies where we DM each other a lot.
We haven't actually had a real conversation. Yeah. I don't think I ever have like one steady like person that I DM with, and you've become that person. So.
Cole, thank you.
I'm thankful you haven't just left me on red yet.
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet. It's coming. Thanks for being a good friend to my husband, Cole. That's really sweet.
Yeah, good job, honey.
Thanks.
Well, for the people who maybe don't know you, which I'm sure most of them do, but if you don't know Cole and Savannah, kind of give us a little screenshot of what y'all's life is all about.
Do you want to take it?
No, you take it.
You want me to take it?
Yeah.
Okay. So essentially how I would describe ourselves, if someone didn't know us, it's funny because like people will ask us like what we do for work. And the best way that I explain it is like, I tell people that we like run a social media business.
That's awesome.
just so it sounds a little more professional than YouTubers, you know,
for YouTubers.
Especially for like somebody that's older, but I'm assuming that we have more younger listeners who will know a YouTuber. So we did do the YouTube thing. We've been doing social media since we met essentially. We didn't expect it to go anywhere, but we started dating and started just uploading some content. And
we started just like making videos just to look back on because we were doing long distance. Mm-hmm. And we thought it'd be fun just to have videos to look back on, and then it just kind of happened.
We got married, had some kids, and it's turned into a family thing. So I guess the best way to think of it is like any kind of family TV show that you would see on TV, but that's just, it's on the internet.
Yeah. Yes. I love it. I love y'all's little intro and everything. It really does feel like you're watching a reality TV show, but it's like y'all's sweet family, and it's so good. So, yeah, you can say you're YouTubers, and it's epic because y'all do a great job. And y'all make the cutest dance videos, and your family is just so much fun to follow. I've been watching y'all's videos for a long time, actually. Like, I remember when y'all were dating, and y'all did, like, 10 kisses or something, and
oh,
it was like hilarious. I know, no, I go way back with y'all. I really,
yeah,
I love it.
That's so fun. So I actually don't know the story of how y'all met. So how did y'all meet?
Mm. Ooh, should I tell this one?
Yeah, you know.
So at first he sent me a DM, and
isn't that how everybody meets nowadays?
Yeah, he sent me a DM.
It's same for us. Yeah.
Musically, but this was back when it was Musically days, not TikTok, so it's funny.
Wow.
Like he sent me a DM on Musically. He's like, hey, do you want to share each other's videos?
Vine just died, so I need to reference. I was Vine died. I was trying to collaborate.
He's trying to get onto a new platform, so he DM me.
Strictly business.
Strictly business.
Strictly business.
But I responded saying, like, hey, of course, totally, you're hilarious. I, like, went and watched all of his videos and thought he was, like, the funniest guy. Me and my sister, I remember, just sat there for, like, an hour and a half watching how funny he was. And then so I sent him a message saying, of course, totally, let's do it. But he never responded back. And he says that he didn't even know how to check his messages, so he never even saw that I responded. Like, he had no idea how to work the app.
I knew how to send messages.
But I sent him a message with my number saying, like, hey, yeah, here's my number. Send me a video you want me to post and I'll send you one that you can post. But then that never happened. So I knew of him from that moment. We met each other at the Grove randomly. I saw him just walking by.
Oh, and a reference. Wow. I was living in Alabama going to college. She was living in California. So we really should have never met as far as.
So, but he was on a trip for the summer, walking at the Grove. I saw him at the corner of my eye. I know he saw me because we, like, glanced at each other for a second. But then I turned around because Everly was running off and I had to go grab her. And when I looked back, he was gone. So I was like, dang it, I wish I would have said hi. But my sister was actually about to head out. So I said, if you run into Cole on your way out, send him over. Like, tell him to come say hi. So she happened to, which is funny. I guess she was walking right past Barnes & Noble as you were walking out, right?
Mm. Well,
and sent him over. And then from there, it was just
history.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
And the Grove's actually, like, a big place too. So
I know.
It's pretty random to run into. For those who don't know what the Grove is, it's like in West Hollywood-ish area. And, like, it's an outdoor, basically, like, lots of stores, lots of restaurants. Yeah. And so that would be a very random place to, like, meet the love of your life.
And I live, like, 2 hours away from it. So, like, I'm never over there. And so I was there at the same time he was. It's just crazy. Totally a God thing. But
that is a God thing. Right place at the right time.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I always say that to people when people are like, oh, I'm looking for a relationship. I'm like, you know, I really don't even know that if we look, we could find it. It's almost like you just have to trust God and, like, be available and be willing. And, like, all of a sudden you look up and the person's right in front of you. Because, like, you wouldn't look in the place that God normally shows it to you. You know, like, if you were looking, you might not be, like, at the Grove that day, at Barnes & Noble or whatever it is, like, with your daughter, you know. You would think, like, looking would be more like dating apps or going to, like, the single church group or whatever. But it's really in those random moments that God, you know, just kind of puts you at the right place at the right time. It's, like, trusting him for that. So that is really, really cool. So I'll have to say, like, dating back to whenever I was in high school, there was kind of like this question that everybody asked, and it was like, who are you a bigger fan of, Justin Bieber or One Direction, right? It was like this, who's your fan? But whenever I was in high school, Dim White Boys was thrown into the mix. It was are you Justin Bieber? Are you One Direction? Are you Dim White Boys?
Let's go.
And so,
wow, you made it.
I know.
Assuming you said Dim White Boys?
Oh, every time. Every time. No.
Yeah.
But
that's
you
funny.
Made
I wasn't even a Dim White Boys fan.
Oh.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Did you know about
no.
Dim White Boys?
I had no idea. I've never seen them. I didn't even have a Vine, so I had no idea.
I know it's going to come out one day. Like, I find all these, like, old signed, like, posters and hats, and that she just was like
I was
a super soccer.
Secretly the number one fan.
One day you'll find it all. No, that's hilarious. Christian said he was also a Dim White Boys fan. Cole.
Oh, so man, let's funny. Go.
So y'all go way back. Well, that is hilarious. So you didn't know anything about them. So did you just happen to see him on, was it Musical.ly, you said?
Yeah, I just saw him on Musical.ly, and that's it. I just saw his videos and thought they just kind of lived on there, and he was just a new guy trying to put videos on Musical.ly, and I was just like, sure, you're hilarious. Let's get you some followers.
That is so awesome. Oh my gosh, I love it. So one thing that I love about your family is that y'all all are really good dancers, but more than that, like, you just have a lot of fun together, and you create space to have fun. Like, I saw your video even with y'all, like, saying, it was years ago, but y'all saying, like, yes to everything that Everly asked for a day, and then vice versa, and, like, it was so hilarious because you're in Target and you're just, like, being so silly and laughing at yourself and all that stuff. So I know that's, like, a really big thing about your family. What do you think, like, the importance is of having fun, and, like, how do y'all carve time out to, like, make sure that you're doing stuff fun as a family? Is that something that you feel like y'all really value, or does it just kind of happen?
100%. I value that more than anything. So I feel like I am, like, our big schedule person. And so I'm always trying to, like, figure out, like, for me, a big thing is, like, always giving our kids one-on-one time too, like, getting the family time, but, like, making sure we have a posy date day or a Everly date night, or, you know, even just like taking Zealand with me just to the park by ourselves, like something as simple as like it can even be just going to ice cream for 10 minutes. But I feel like getting those special like one-on-one times with the kids, especially now that we're starting to have so many, is like so important.
That's awesome.
But yeah, we value family time more than anything. So
that's awesome
for us.
Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A, to 500-500. That's audible, A-U-D-I-B-L-E, .com/woe, or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
You can definitely see that, and it shows. It's funny that you said y'all, you know, are having so many, because I saw y'all post on Instagram and you were like, you know, how many kids do we have, comment, whatever. And I'm like, okay, do y'all really want to have 12 kids, or is it a joke? or is that really what we're shooting for here? So let's go ahead and ask this question. Do y'all actually want 12 kids, or are y'all like,
I would probably cap out at like 8 or 9.
Savannah, whenever I met Savannah, she always told me that her favorite movie growing up was Cheaper by the Dozen, and that's like always what she wanted. And I thought she was like joking, you know. I'm just like, yeah, I like that movie too. Cool, let's get married. And then we get married, she's like, no, I actually think that would be awesome. I'm like, oh.
You're like,
yeah,
oh.
like I don't know, maybe like Cheaper by like the quarter dozen is more my alley, but. She does want a lot.
Would be good with 4, max 5.
To clarify, I'm one of 6 kids. I love big families. I mean, we go back to Florida for Thanksgiving, and we're around all 70 of my relatives, and we love it. I love it. I want a big family. But Savannah just wants a really, really, really big family. And I'm like, I don't know. So I'm 25 years old, and she wants a 4th kid.
That's awesome. So Savannah, did you grow up in a big family as well?
No.
Or was it the Cheaper by the Dozen movie that did it for you?
No, it honestly was the Cheaper by the Dozen.
It's probably
movie
another
that
movie
did
too.
It for me, I swear.
What's the other movie where like,
that was
the
one
two
of my
couples join?
Oh yeah, I don't know what that one's called, but that one's good too.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of yeah, I've always loved all the movies that have 5 million kids in them. I'm just a big baby lover. Like if there's a baby near me, I am holding it or talking to it, or I'm like so baby obsessed. But I feel like we'll have 6.
That's awesome. Hey, that's a great number. We have 6 in our family, actually.
Yeah.
3 biological, 3 adopted. And it's a whole lot of fun. It's funny because it's like never quiet at our house. There's, you know, 6 kids.
I love that.
And it's so fun. I know. And Christian's family, it's him and his brother. It's a smaller family. And it was so funny. Like the first time we went out to dinner, it was like table for like 4 or whatever, 5.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is so different. But it's so sweet. And honestly, him and his brother have big enough crazy personalities that it feels like a big family. So really, it's like whatever you have, you love, you know.
Yep.
And
yep,
it ends up being fun no matter what. But we did love growing up with 6 kids. And I saw somewhere that y'all talk about adopting in the future too, right?
Yes, we definitely want to adopt. So
That's awesome. That's so cool. Well, one thing I saw was I watched your wedding video just before preparing for this and just some of the different videos I did. And I mean, it's so beautiful and it has like 50 million views or something on YouTube, and for a reason. Like, y'all's love story is just absolutely beautiful, and you can just see your love on display so evidently, but also like your love for Jesus, that's so evident. And so I kind of wanted to give us some space here, and y'all can take as much time as you want, but I would love to hear how like both of you came to know Jesus for your own self and like how your faith has really impacted your life.
Yeah, that's so good. You want me to start?
Yeah, you can start.
So I grew up in Alabama. So I know you guys are in Louisiana, so I'm sure it's similar culture and values and stuff. And I grew up going to a Southern Baptist church. I grew up, you know, quote unquote religious and knowing God and memorizing scripture at VBS and Sunday school and all that kind of stuff. But I definitely didn't like, you know, obviously I love God, but I definitely didn't have like any kind of a relationship with God. It was more of like a do's and don'ts kind of thing. Yeah. You know, wait until marriage, don't drink till you're 21. But You know, the Holy Spirit wasn't really even mentioned and talked about. So I would say once I kind of hit my high school years, where a lot of my friends started, you know, doing stuff that I just wasn't comfortable with, I went through this phase where I was like that judgmental Christian, where I was like, oh, they, you know, they're dilly-dallying, or they're, you know, hooking up with so-and-so, or they're drinking. I'm like, oh, I'm not doing that because the Bible says not to. But I definitely wasn't like leading people to Jesus. If anything, I was, you know, leading people away from Jesus. Yeah. And then I probably had, you know, I was there like middle school, early high school. And then I just had this like big come to Jesus moment where I was just like, shoot, like, I'm not like, I don't even really know this guy, Jesus. You know, I'm just like following all these commands and et cetera. And I'm not saying that like it's bad to, you know, I think sometimes you just kind of have to almost get locked into like a mindset of, okay, yeah, I am going to try and whatever your, you know, Jesus thing is, you know, wait till marriage or not drink till 21. And cause there's hard seasons where you got to buckle down. But I really came to know Jesus probably more so in college, like right before I met Savannah, was whenever I actually just like fell in love with Jesus and had like become content and who I was, you know, just me with Jesus. And so probably right before high school. It's funny cause I don't have like a specific day. I feel like so many people have like a day or a date or a specific moment, but because I like grew up knowing God and I got baptized probably like 2 or 3 times. I was like, maybe this is like the time that I truly am going to follow him kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't have like a specific day, but I feel like in college, just whenever I had like that slowly as I walked, our pastor talks a lot about like people, you know, miracles happening and healings happening and how the Bible talks about two ways that miracles and healings happening, and some are instantaneous. You know, you see instantaneous miracles, and then others are as they went. And I feel like my... Yeah. Not necessarily that my salvation was like a process, because obviously, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. But I feel like my coming
your to relationship,
like, yeah, as I walk kind of thing.
That's so cool. That's actually similar to Christian, like how you kind of really got to know Jesus in college, which I think is so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up really just like that. I mean, going to VBS and Sunday school and, you know, memorizing the scriptures. And then, I kind of transitioned from the judgmental Christian to the, you know, I might try out some of the worldly things, quasi-Christian, I guess you could say, that I thought I might have been. But I mean, yeah, my relationship with Jesus didn't get serious till I got to college. They never really had a relationship. It was just kind of like you said, just the do's and the don'ts. But for me, it was gradual within the standpoint of like, you know, I went to a Christian youth camp in high school, my senior year, and I kind of started kind of winning off some of the worldly things that I become pretty attached to. But then when I got to college, it was a pretty instantaneous moment where I just really felt just the Holy Spirit just convict me in a way that I'd never felt convicted before. And repentance became a real thing. And I just truly started following Jesus from that. But I really grew up, like you said, I mean, just memorizing scripture, doing the do's and the don'ts. And you know, it's easy to get, you know, it's easy to get hooked on that. But then once you realize that there's no relationship with that, then you kind of want to figure out a different way to go about this.
Yeah, because relationship is like, you know, that's whenever you experience like all the goodness that, you know, God has for you. And so it's really cool that y'all both said that, because I feel like a lot of people think like college is like your year, so like go do all the things that you always want to do and go crazy and go wild. And most people like do, but actually like that can also be a really pivotal time in your life where you can come to develop a deeper relationship with Jesus when you're on your own, when you're making your own decisions and start your life on a new trajectory. And so I just think that's always encouraging to hear when people say it was around college, because I think people count themselves out at the college age. And I'm like, no, like this is such a huge time. Like don't waste it, you know, don't sleep on it. Like actually wake up and see what God has. So that's awesome. So, you know, what's your story?
Yeah. I would say I always grew up going to church as a kid. The pastor of our church was like one of my dad's best friends. So we always grew up religious. And, but then I feel like I kind of got lost like in high school and the very beginning of college. Just, I feel like, honestly, it was just kind of like toxic relationships that I was in that kind of drew me away from Jesus. And obviously I still always believed in him and I would go to church sometimes, but I never really had a solid relationship with him, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like there was just so many things that kept happening that just made me like, and then I got pregnant with Everly, and then I felt like there's no way of forgiveness for that, but obviously there is. And I just felt bad even going to church, being pregnant and 19 years old and not married. Wow. And just beaten down just from bad relationships, honestly, just in general. And so also around that time my parents got divorced. I feel like there's just a lot going on in my life and I just kind of felt bleh. And then right around when I met Cole, and people get this confused sometimes by me saying like Cole saved me, but that's not the case whatsoever. I feel like Jesus can bring someone into your life to help you realize you know,
totally.
And so when Cole came into my life, I feel like he gave me a whole new perspective on like how I should be treated. And just even as my friend, like just when we were friends in the beginning, just like making me realize what my worth was and that, you know. And so I feel like I kind of got a whole new understanding of like just guys who love Jesus so much. And I thought how amazing it was. And it was when we went to this passion conference where I feel like I really like rededicated my life to Jesus, was at a passion conference. And Sadie, I feel like you might have spoke at it, actually.
I think I did, because I remember seeing that y'all were there.
Yeah. And I feel like it was in one of those what's the girl's name? The wife of
Dawn Shuri.
Yes. When she was speaking, it was the first time, like during worship, that I ever like lifted my hands in worship. Like just seeing the girls I was with do it, like pushed me to, and seeing Cole and his friends do it. Like it was the first time I lifted my hands, and I just like felt the presence of Jesus like so much, like never before. And I feel like I was like totally just gave my life over to him in that moment at that conference. And ever since then, like everything changed. The way I see myself, just little things in my life that were going on, like none of it mattered anymore. And I completely just gave my life over to him, and it was pretty rad.
That is so cool. That is rad. That literally gives me chills. Cause I remember the first time that happened for me, I was like 17 at a conference, and, just before I was speaking or anything, I was just going to the conference, and, I was like, kind of seeing everybody raise their hands, and I had never done that before. And I was like, I was looking around, I was thinking like, what are they feeling that I'm not feeling, you know? Yeah. And I remember finally I was just like, okay, God, like I'm just gonna like worship you, like heart abandoned, like not even think about anything else or anyone else or what they would think. And like finally when I like shut off the noise, like I truly encountered him. And like, it was not like I was trying to lift my hands, it just happened out of a true posture of worship, you know? And then I responded to the altar call, and like that was like the moment for me. And so that's so cool to hear you say. And just for people listening, like, you know, maybe you're not a believer, you've never come to know Jesus, but maybe you're out there and you're lost or you're struggling. And I just, you know, encourage you, like open your heart, because all of us were at that point at one time or another in our life. And like the reason why we were so drawn to Jesus is because like Jesus in himself, he's just love. He's kind. He's joy. He gives us a hope beyond this world. And so if you're interested in that, I just encourage you to open your heart towards it. So like I said, I was watching your wedding video, and one thing that you said, Savannah, in your wedding video was that like you didn't feel like you could have this opportunity to have a man so godly as Cole to love you because you felt like broken, which like breaks my heart to hear, but it's also like I have felt the same exact way in my life, like felt broken, felt unworthy of love. And then like I met Christian, who's like so kind and so loving, and I'm like almost don't even know what to do with it, you know, that kind of thing. And like to receive that love is just so overwhelming. And yeah. You know, it's the love that Jesus offers us too. So speaking from like your perspective now, being loved by Jesus, being loved by Cole, and getting past those broken spots, like what would you say to girls out there, or even guys too, who are in that spot of feeling broken and like, I don't know if there's like redemption for me because I did X, Y, and Z. Like, what would you say to them now with the perspective that you have?
I think it took me a while to like love myself. I feel like I didn't really love myself. And I feel like that partly had to do just like with people that were in my life that made me feel that way. But I feel like honestly it starts there. And like the second that I really started to love myself, I started to get a deeper connection with Jesus, and I started to realize just the important things. But I really feel like, I feel like there could be so many people in your life that are like, that can tell you, you shouldn't be doing that, or you shouldn't be with that person. It's horrible. And you know, it is, you know, you should be doing it, and you know, you deserve better. But for some reason, until you truly love yourself, you can't get yourself out of the situation. So,
preach. That is so true. I remember I was going through this time where, like, I was kind of, you know, feeling broken and kind of feeling lost. And it was after, like, I went through this breakup of, like, a really toxic relationship. And I remember I was going through kind of, like, counseling, but it was really just with a pastor. Mm-hmm. And she was, like, you know, talking about how like, hey, like you need to forgive this person in your heart so that you can move forward. And like, I went through the process of like forgiving him there, that space. And she's like, hey, you need to forgive these people for like what they did in the process. So I went through that. And then lastly, she was like, okay, now like you need to forgive yourself. And that was like the hardest part. And I just sat there and I cried and cried because I was like, that, like, that's the hardest thing. Sometimes it's like the hardest thing to forgive yourself, to love yourself through it. But if you can get to that point, then like you open up the door to be loved by others, to be forgiven by others, to be in relationship with others. And so such a great point.
I actually went through the same. I did like an inner healing.
Yes. Same.
And that changed everything for me. I mean, I think just
That was pretty recently too.
Yeah, forgiving people that have hurt you is like so big. Like that was huge for me. Just like being able to forgive everybody that has ever hurt me before and made me feel unworthy, and then also forgiving myself. I was just sobbing the whole time. It was
same.
Yeah.
Wow. It's so intense. And honestly, I avoided it for a while because I was like, I don't like to cry in front of people. I really don't want to go through this. I really don't want to talk about it all. But it was like the most freeing thing I've ever done. And honestly, like, I feel like I walked out of there and to this day walk with a different confidence than I did before.
Yeah.
And so that's so cool to hear that you did that too. One thing in your video that stuck out to me that I thought was awesome was that in your sister's talk, she started talking about how like y'all bring out the goofy version of yourselves. And she said, like, especially like whenever y'all started dating, because it was your sister, she was like, I saw such a goofy side of her that I hadn't seen in a while. And I think that is like one thing that, you know, it's like the right relationship when you bring out like the best versions of yourself. Totally. And so maybe talk about that for a little bit, about just like sides of each other that y'all have seen kind of like blossom as you've been in a relationship. Because I know Christian and I could say some similar things, like things that like we lost like from our childhood self now are like coming back just out of like the love we have for one another. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You want to start or you want me to go?
You can go. I feel like you've kind of just always been goofy.
Right? Ours will be different in the sense that like
maybe you bring out a different side.
Yeah, absolutely. Where like I didn't grow up with like the same growing up pains that Savannah did, as far as like I explained in my coming to know Jesus, I was fortunate to not make certain, you know, super bad, quote unquote, decisions that maybe left me super hurt, or like that I took away my goofy side. So I was always like really goofy, but with my growing up,
maybe I just helped you like loosen up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was gonna get at. It's like loosen up and like not be like so uptight about certain things, yeah. Or like, you know, realize what truly is like so important. And I mean, she's helped me mature because we literally met her at 19, so I was literally still a kid. I mean, I'm 25, still am to some extent, but
mm-hmm. Wow.
She literally just like helped me, like, I feel, turn into a man. That's cool. In retrospect, where I was just total goofball.
And I feel like he brought me back down to
where we kind of met in the middle, where uh-huh. She needed some more goofball and yeah. I needed a little less. And, and we kind of met in the middle that way.
That's awesome. We kind of did too in similar ways. Like, I'm kind of like more, so I'm like very extroverted, like more like to be around people all the time. And Christian's like very introverted and more quiet. And we kind of like made the perfect balance, because now he goes out and like likes to hang out with people and everything. And I am like now kind of like, can we just actually chill at the house tonight? Like, it's
and I'm very extroverted at home, though.
You are like, you're crazy at home.
Which I don't even know if I can say I'm extroverted at home, but I'm more outgoing when it's fewer people.
It's funny, like people will see our like some videos I'll post and be like, like people that know us, like, Christian's like so quiet, like, but he seems so funny. I'm like, no, he's like the funniest, goofiest person I've ever met, just at home, like, just not not like in front of everybody.
And he stays for you.
Yep.
He stays there for you.
Exactly. Yeah,
I always tell her she should feel super special.
I do. I feel the most special. I love it. And then I like crash at home, so we're opposite. Yeah. We bring each other up. So. One thing is, Christian and I just started vlogging, which we had not done before. We do all kinds of other social media, but we hadn't done vlogs. And it's been fun. And mainly the reason why we started it is just because we really want to document Honey's life and be able to have that to like look back on. And we felt like we share a lot of like work stuff and ministry stuff we do, which is great. But we also want to share like more of our life and our heart and stuff like that. And y'all have like set the best example for that. Like, y'all's vlog is so great, and it's, y'all have always stayed true to who you are, and you've loved your family so well through it all. And so I kind of just wanted to take some time to just get some advice from y'all. So I know a lot of people are listening to this, but maybe there's other people out there who are wanting to start vlogging or start a podcast or write a book or put something out there that might seem kind of vulnerable. What's your best piece of advice for starting something like that?
Yeah, I mean, mine would be, you know, find why you're doing it. You got to find that why. I mean, and it sounds like you guys and with us, it was the exact same thing. We wanted these memories of us dating. Like, I knew she was the one right away. So once we started our channel, I just thought this would be so much fun to look back on our dating relationship and 20 years and we're old. And, you know, even back then, not too many people were making near as much money or didn't even know how much money could be made from it nowadays. And I'm not saying that it's even bad for people to go into YouTube as a money or side hustle or whatever it is, because it's, you know, it's there. So I'm not saying that's bad, but I think, you know, realizing, are you trying to do it for the family memory aspect, or are you trying to do it for the business aspect? And then whatever your why is will help determine the approach. So obviously, if you're, you know, trying to be the biggest YouTuber and get the most subscribers and the most money, then you gotta grind and you gotta hustle and you gotta, you know, treat it like an actual business. If you know, you do it for memories, then it's just,
I feel like most of the time if you're trying to do it in that way, it's not really gonna come off genuine, and people generally won't watch it, because I feel like they'll sense that, you know.
I think it all depends also on like the content that you're making. Obviously, yeah. If it's family oriented, then yeah, you gotta be more cautious with that approach. Mm-hmm. But if you're just like a single, like I just met up with some guys yesterday who are a bunch of single early 20s, and it's like, obviously they have all the right and all the room just to grind and work as hard as they can to try and be, you know, as best as they can, as you would, as any athlete would or anything else. So, finding that why and staying true to it. And I mean, you just got to kind of know what comes with it, and that the social media is a mean place, and just the world's, we live in a mean world, probably meaner than ever right now. And once you start putting stuff out there, you know, something that we weren't prepared for was we were just making fun family stuff, you know, for the most part, seemingly innocent. And
I think obviously you make mistakes along the way that you post, and you don't realize how much it's like, oh, whoa, I made a mistake. And then the whole world sees that mistake, especially if it's family oriented. And it's like, oh, now they want you dead because of that mistake, you know? And I would just advise people, like, especially now more than ever, just like be like, super cautious with what you upload. Something that we're trying to be better at, because we have made our fair share of mistakes, is like, okay, let's not get so focused on the grind of making content or whatever it is that we forget, you know, the quality or just even who we are.
And, important things.
Yeah. So
that's good. What are some things to y'all that are like special to your family that maybe you don't share on, you know, your vlog? Do y'all have, or you don't have to share those things, but do y'all have things that are kind of like, this is like our time, no cameras, no, do y'all have like boundaries in that? Or have y'all gotten kind of to the point where it's like, you know, it's fine if the cameras are there? Because I feel like with Duck Dynasty, like, there's cameras in our house all the time, but then we knew when there wasn't going to be, you know, which is kind of nice. But then also, we were so used to it that it didn't really matter, you know, if they were, like, we were still the same people that we were with them or without, you know? So what does that kind of look like for y'all?
Yeah.
I think as for us, I honestly feel like there's never really cameras. Like, that's, you know, it's like once a week. For a few hours, there'll be a camera now, but
we've personally slowed it down a lot, just being in the space that we are now with reevaluating what's really important, reevaluating our why, what we want to do.
Awesome. And even when we were doing like twice a week, though, there would be like 2 days a week where there was like, for sure, we were going to film something, and it was like a few hours of that day. Like, it was,
that's awesome.
We knew every Monday and Friday we were going to do that. You know,
I think that's such a good point, though, that you bring up, is like slowing down and like asking yourself the why. I actually just did a devotional with some girls the other day, and I was talking about how last week, so I just joined Christian's mom's tennis league, which is hilarious. And it's like all of these like sweet moms playing tennis. And they're all older, you know, because it's like more middle-aged women, moms playing tennis. And I joined the league. It's been, it was a blast, but it was kind of funny. So I go out and everyone's telling me like, oh, Sadie, like, you're playing the best girl in the league. You're playing Kim. And it was like this big thing that I'm playing Kim. So I'm thinking like, okay, like how good can Kim be? Like, okay, like I'm in my 20s. I play tennis. This is going to be fine. I see Kim and her partner. I'm thinking, I got this. Y'all, they like destroyed me. They had me. I got whooped. Okay. Like, and the funny thing is, Kim didn't even break a sweat. And I'm over there like sweating. I can't breathe. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is bad. So I look at my partner at one point in the match, because it was doubles. And I just told her, I was like, hey, like, we got to slow the game down. Like, first of all, I can't breathe. Second of all, like, they're gaining so much momentum on us. And like, you know how whenever somebody starts doing good in something and it's like, they're just like, you can't stop them. I mean, they're just on a roll. It was kind of like that. And I was like, maybe if we slow it down, we can like fix the problem. So we slowed it down. She like, I had to, like, she needed to tie her shoe. She fixed her shoe. I stretched it out a little bit and we got back to playing. Well, we still didn't win, but it did just help us like reposition. And I was like, it's the same way in life sometimes, where it's like, there will be moments where you just need to slow the game down a little bit, you know, like,
yeah,
maybe something's catching momentum and it's not a good thing. Or maybe, you know, you're getting tired, you're getting worn out, you're having a little bit of a struggle to breathe. Well, like, it's okay to take a second and get things in place to be able to be the best version of yourself and continue on. And, you know, y'all seem to be doing that in certain things and saying like, hey, like, let's slow the game down a bit. Like, let's restructure some things and re-ask ourselves why, get our position and our footing right again, and then you're moving forward in the best way. And I think, you know, in the culture we live in, life goes 100 miles per hour and everyone's running and full speed ahead, and it's like, man, if I stop, then how am I going to catch up? And it's like, just remember, like, you're running your own race. And, you know, we always say, be like a race horse, put your blinders on, run your race, not the person's beside you, and be okay with taking some time to get your footing. So I think that's such good advice in and of itself, that y'all take that time to do that. Well, we're gonna start wrapping up soon, but before I do, Cole, we have to ask you about your spider bite, because that was epic. Like Christian said, he's been your DM buddy. We've been talking about that spider bite because I feel like that's like everyone's like low key fear, that they would like get bit by a spider. And well, that was gnarly. I feel
like it's your low key fear and dream. Like, dream and like
become a weird Spider-Man.
Dream. Yeah, because like, because you think like, am I gonna develop some kind of like cool superpower?
Yes,
I've thought about that.
There are side effects, positive side effects that have come from the spider bite. So
is there really?
Oh yeah, yeah. The rumors are true. They I think Spider-Man is actually based off of a true story. After my bite, but no,
oh my gosh.
Essentially, if people don't know, I was in Florida. And as you guys saw, I was kind of sharing it over my Instagram story because it was just insane to me. But I was staying in my friend's back house, and there were some cobwebs in the corner, and we were joking about some of the spiders that we saw. Like, it was me and like four other buddies staying in this back little back house that my friend built himself, and we saw the spiders, didn't think much of it. We slept the first couple of days fine, and then the final day I wake up to fly home early in the morning, and I feel something on my face. And I look in the mirror and I see like two little bumps and like slight swelling. And I'm thinking like, there's no way I got bit. And other than that, like it's hurting, but I don't feel too bad. And I get on the plane and this thing's just like growing pretty fast. Where I'm thinking, is it just like a zit, whatever else? Like I took picture documentation and it's slowly growing. And by the time I get home, which is like a 4-hour flight, Savannah like really notices this thing on my face, and it's not just like a bump, mm-hmm. like rotting my skin away, where it's like scabbing really bad.
Oh my gosh.
The skin is like rotting away, but the bump hadn't gotten too big. And I kind of told like, yeah, pretty positive I got bit by a spider. And essentially within like 2-3 days, this thing was like literally the size of my ear, right under my ear. And
it
wasn't just a bump. It was like mainly scabby and like very,
so bad.
Like lots of pus coming out of it. And, and I thought that like maybe this spider bite had now gotten infected because it wasn't just like.
And then little baby spiders started coming out of his face.
It laid eggs in my face. Yes.
So, no.
Just kidding. We're just kidding.
No, but.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh my gosh.
No, but that didn't happen. Everything else up to now is true. But luckily, I have a wife who made me go in, because if it wasn't for Savannah, I probably just would have like.
Which is so funny.
I would have tried popping it, and they tell you don't pop it.
For any of our kids, he's the first one to be like, oh no. Oh, she has something on her finger. Let's take her in. But yeah. For him, he's like, no way am I going in. I'm like, this thing is huge. You have to.
Yeah.
I saw you post that, and I was like, I wish I was like that, where I was like, oh, I'm not going to go in. I would have landed and gone straight into the, like, ER or something dramatic.
Well, you look it up, and I guess nobody's died of a black widow bite in the U.S. in, like, 10 years. So whenever I looked that up, I was like, okay, either I'm making history or I'm surviving.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm so glad that
you survived.
I survived it. Yeah.
You're a survivor and maybe the next Spider-Man. And so.
Wait, so, yeah, what are some of the positive side effects? Because I'm actually kind of, like, interested.
Christian.
Yeah.
Well, now he can fly.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Nothing but web. I can just, like, I can hover, like, 2 inches off the ground. That's it, though. I can't fly high.
You can crawl up walls.
Yeah. It's a slight hover.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. Oh, you guys are so awesome. Honestly, we really do look up to y'all in a lot of ways and just think your family's awesome. My family, you know, has done a lot in TV. And TV is, you know, kind of crazy sometimes, and there's a lot out there. And so we're always thankful for anybody just putting out such a positive light. And y'all do that beautifully. So thank you for pressing past some of the mean things that people have done, and probably, you know, from our experience, scary things people have done, and, you know, just trusting God with your life and the things that y'all do, because it's awesome and it spreads. And so I know the people who are listening can't talk, but I'm sure each of them would say thank you for just your example and everything as your family. So we love you guys. We are so for the LeBrant family, and thanks for joining me on the audio room.
Thank you so
much.
We love you guys.
Thank you for having us. This is awesome.
They're so awesome. Such a good example to me, and I hope for you too. Hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I will talk to you next week.